Welcome to Failing Up, a podcast where we explore failure.
Why we're afraid of it, why we try to avoid it, and the success that can arise directly from it.
Failure comes in many shapes and forms. It can even mean different things to different people.
This show, Failing Up, intends to explore all aspects. These are the stories of people who have experienced profound failures that ultimately led them to something positive.
We hope this helps us all learn and grow. Thanks for listening.
My name is Eden.
And I'm Guy.
Andy Lassner.
Here I am again.
Thank you so much for being back here.
Nothing makes me happier than to be sitting with the two of you.
You have no idea. We're really excited to have you back.
I'm happy to be here.
You've been nothing but a blessing for us in that you've promoted our podcast a lot. You've helped us out in that
respect. I love your podcast. And I got to tell you, yours is the only podcast other than an LA Kings one that I've listened to.
That is something I was going to bring up with you. Let's jump right into it. So you've done a second podcast now.
I did do a second podcast for the LA Kings, but it was just a 5-minute interview from my car.
And so we shouldn't feel like bad. Because Eden and I don't think we felt bad, but we were kind of rooting against it.
No.
You're the only one.
This was literally a phone call right before the playoffs, and they wanted my prediction, and I predicted completely wrong. So I haven't been asked back.
Well, I mean, of course you're going to predict the Kings to win the whole thing. So it's not like that's a surprise. Yeah. But then you went from the Kings to a minor league hockey team, right?
Yeah, the Kings minor hockey.
Oh, it's the Kings minor league hockey team. Okay.
Yeah, they're in Ontario.
I wasn't sure if you just jumped to like the top.
No, it's their junior team, and they got swept too. So it wasn't a great year for hockey for me.
But so what do you do in the off season? Do you have any other sports you like?
I just took up golf about a year ago.
Really?
And I'm trying to learn.
Are you any good?
I'm okay. I'm not good.
When you go out and shoot a full round, what do you score?
100.
Okay, that's actually not terrible.
It's not terrible, and I should be taking more lessons. And I was also with my ADD, the putting. I just step up, and there's so much.
I think
you
it's
need
the
to
wrong
do.
Sport for someone with ADD.
I just like being out there, and it's also my kids like it, which is good. The second
they
don't like it, I can't do it because my wife's not letting me leave the house for 5-6 hours, but I take them away from her for 5-6 hours. It's a good thing. It's good. You're out in nature. It's nice. And by nature, I mean...
nature?
And by nature, I mean Tarzana.
Right.
Where
there's a manicured lawn.
Beautiful.
But you don't take lessons.
I've taken a few lessons. My brother-in-law is actually a pro, a golf pro.
Oh, wow.
He teaches up in Valencia, but I haven't taken advantage of it enough, but I'm going to start.
I haven't golfed in like 10 years. The last time I went out, because I'm terrible, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to count every stroke. I'm going to be honest. There's no mulligans. 167. And I'm like, you know what? I shouldn't be playing this game.
That's what I was playing when the first time I ever played was in Hawaii with my kids. And I was shooting like 180.
But that's what you do the first time. I played probably 10 times in my life, and I still suck. So
it's a hard game.
Not
sticking with
hockey. Yeah, I mean,
personally.
Yeah. And
do you play? No.
I used to play.
Isn't it the best?
It's the best.
I only play roller now. I don't even play ice. I play in a roller hockey league in Burbank.
Is this a contact league or no?
No. I mean, there's
right?
light
like
checking.
Yeah.
There's light checking, but it's nothing.
No fights?
No.
Nothing like that?
Oh, yeah, there are fights.
Okay.
I don't fight. I will instigate a fight and then back off and let the larger non-Jews on the team fight.
Are you a forward? I would assume.
I'm a forward, yes. Okay. I'm a forward and... Yeah, and I'm tired. I get tired easily, so I'm not a very defensive forward.
Tired, like winded.
Winded.
Yeah,
I get winded
so
quick, and then sometimes half the team doesn't show up, and so I have to play it. And I'm like, I just can't.
Yeah,
I'm like, I'm sorry, we're gonna have to be shorthanded because I literally can't breathe.
You just stop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there any part of that that's like, I don't know? For me, when I get into a game like that, I have anxiety issues, and so like my adrenaline will start pumping, and like even before the game starts, I can barely breathe, you know. And then
right.
the game starts, I'm already.
yeah.
We haven't even dropped the puck, guys.
I get
What's
that same
on?
Thing.
Okay, well then it's not just.
I deal with anxiety as well.
Yeah, well, we'll
anxiety
talk about
every
that.
Second of every problem. Day.
You know, our first interview with you, we spoke a lot about your past. We talked
right.
about your drug use and
yeah.
in college, and of course you're producing the Richard Bay Show and Morton Downey Jr.
Right,
Rosie to Ellen, and Rosie was the biggest thing that people come back to me. I don't know about you, Eden. Is the Listerine story.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We heard a lot of stuff about that.
That one got me, too, just because, go back and listen to the first episode with Andy, but how you described that your wife turned to you and you're like, she's like, you smell. And she actually smelled the Listerine on you.
Coming out of my pores, not from my breath. I just thought I had good breath, but it was all I was drinking. That's the insanity of it.
Yeah. I mean, that's hard fucking.
But I met people, and I've met people since who totally did the mouthwash route.
Yeah.
Who have been there.
But mouthwash is one thing, but Listerine, yeah. the one that you did was the old yellow
the
stuff.
Old,
it's
not right? even the good it had the highest alcohol content. The green and the blue gross. Did not. Oh. You had to go with the original.
Yeah. I don't even think they make that. Yeah, it's tasted so bad. I don't think they make the original anymore, do they?
I have no idea.
I've only seen blue and green around here.
It gives me anxiety when I see any mouthwash. It like still gives
Does
me.
Does it really?
Oh, it's yeah. funny. I have mouthwash, but it's alcohol free.
Hmm.
For the reason that I'm scared even a little bit will like
yeah.
trigger something.
Interesting.
Just for that. But yeah. it also, it's more standable in my mouth, I think, too.
What I was going to say is, though, in the first interview, we talked about drugs and all right. that stuff. And when the show ended, you actually had people reach out to you.
Yes.
You don't have to be specific. I remember one guy emailed you and you told us, I think he just hadn't talked to you in a long time. And that's basically what he said. He's like, I don't know what to say other than I haven't talked to you in a long time.
I have to tell you, the amount of people in my life who listened to this podcast was unbelievable. People I hadn't heard. I told you probably about one when my dad passed away in November. And then I did the Shiva in New York.
Mm-hmm.
The amount of kids from high school that at the Shiva were saying, hey, I heard this podcast you did. I had no idea. Or I made my uncle listen to it. It was nonstop the amount of people who have listened to it. I still hear about it.
It's awesome. And we, it's still, I mean, it's the number one show that we have on our site, but still it's every day.
It's the number one show in America, I believe.
It is. No, but seriously, if I look at the everyday stats, almost, unless we release a new show, your show is the number one show that's listened to
Let's
on a daily basis.
Let's just hope Ellen doesn't come out with a podcast.
No, exactly.
We'll be in a lot yeah. of trouble. So you did you help people, or was it just
yes,
like you were there
I,
for people?
Absolutely. Well, I'm constantly trying to help people because that's how that's how we do it, is by giving it away it's the best thing I can do it helps me to help people. It reminds me where I was, and talking to people who are new and still struggling reminds me and brings me back for, especially on those days when I think, fuck, it would be nice to just get high one more time.
Yeah.
And people can't believe after everything I've been through that still happens, but it absolutely still happens. I can still taste any type of alcohol if I think about it. I can think
really?
Of absolutely the first I can feel exactly what it's like as soon as heroin enters my body. Like I can go right there.
Wow.
It's not a daily battle or daily struggle, but absolutely. And so I can relate with but the thing I relate with the most is not the drugs, and it is just the complete feeling of out of control that your life becomes, and this sort of helplessness. And that's if I can give anybody hope, that's what I try and do with what I've been through. But yes, I'm constantly trying to help and constantly trying to tell people, to at least talk to someone about it, either go to a meeting, talk to a professional, but just keep talking about it. Because a lot of people, which is insane to me, in 2000, there's still a stigma. There's still, I can't let anyone at work know that I'm struggling with drinking, or I can't let people know that I've done these drugs. And like I don't know if we talked about this last time, but this whole new wave of pills is insane. Like they're more potent.
Yeah.
Since I've gotten clean, I mean, these people are getting hooked on these pills, and there's so many ODs, and none of these people are trying to kill themselves.
Yeah.
They're just, it's scary.
One of the big ones, fentanyl, is that it? It was the one that Michael Jackson died of, I think. That
Propofol. That's basically anesthesia.
That's anesthesia, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe I'm wrong.
There's a reason why you're like, oh, damn, anesthesia is good. Because it's like, yeah, of course.
Oxycontin is the one that a lot of people are getting.
That's the one, like, Prince, I think, had trouble with.
Yeah.
I mean, ever since we've talked since last year, there's been so many deaths.
Yeah.
I think it's insane.
Yeah.
How is Andy doing? Like, how are you doing in general?
I'm doing good.
Yeah?
I'm better. I'm better when I have structure in my life. I find this is a hiatus period for me, as it was last time when I did this.
Yeah.
I have 5 weeks off in the summer, and I try and plan activities because a lot of free time for me is a lot of my
you're
head.
Like me.
I'm very anxious and very stressed, and it never obviously other than having a serious drug addiction, it never really manifested itself. I never worried about stuff, but as I'm getting older, suddenly I'm finding out my blood pressure is through the roof. This is a whole new thing. I'm going to a cardiologist now. And stress is such a normal part of my life that when the cardiologist says to me, are you in a stressful job? I said, I don't think more than other people. I'm just always stressed.
Yeah. Well, so, except your boss likes to jump out and scare you.
Yes.
You get put in haunted houses, yes. which you hate.
Yes.
You know, you are in a little bit of a stressful situation.
She fully takes advantage of my anxious state. But what I'm saying is it's actually manifesting itself now physically for me, which is like high blood pressure. And then I got a call last night at 9:05 from him because he got my blood test results and said, we need to have a long talk.
Oh.
And apparently my cholesterol's, he like mumbled. And so I tried calling back today and I didn't get him. But my cholesterol's high. So how's Andy? Andy's well. He's got very high blood pressure for someone my age. He said the word pre-diabetic on the phone. So
what do you eat bad?
I don't eat great. I'm vegetarian.
Okay.
So
really?
But vegetarian for me, I'll eat, you know, crap. I'll eat potato chips. I'll eat, you know, so it's not like I'm doing it for health reasons, really. I just sort of, you work for Ellen DeGeneres, you get wrapped up in that whole vegan thing, and then suddenly.
But you haven't gone full vegan?
I did for a while. I like cheese. I like dairy. I find it to be good.
What about their nut cheese, quote unquote? Not the same, right?
I don't love it. People say, oh my God, it's the same thing. It's, you know, it's made from cashew. And I'm like, it even melts like cheese. They tell me no. There are a couple restaurants that are vegan, that are high end, that are really good.
Yeah.
But.
Have you been to Little Pine?
No, I have not.
Have you been to Gracias Madre?
Yes, I have. That's delicious.
And there's a good Thai one, too, out here that's vegan.
Yeah, like Thai, Chinese, and Indian, you can find so much vegetarian stuff. But like
Italian, oh no, you're in trouble. Trying to do Italian. Yeah. All that cheese?
Yeah.
All those
pieces? But I do the cheese.
Little Pine is Moby's restaurant, by the way, and it's in Silver Lake. And it's actually really, really good.
I'm going
to
try it.
And all the proceeds go to animal charities.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so look at that. He's such a good guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no reason not to go. So you're a vegetarian. Do you eggs, though, or no?
I do eggs. I'll do, okay, like, I don't.
Not anymore, you don't. Not with that cholesterol.
No, exactly. I'm going to have to cut everything out.
Cholesterol is actually diet-related.
I'm D deficient, whatever that is,
too. Vitamin D.
This is all mumbled in a 30-second message, and then I can't get him on the phone today. But
more
it was a lot about having a long, we need to have a long talk and straighten out these situations, he said.
Oh, he sounds like a parent.
Yeah, it was exactly.
We have to have a long talk.
And then, you know, and I have to, I manage depression too, so diet definitely is important. I eat a lot of sugar, which for me isn't great because I get, it contributes to highs and lows for me. And I'm not a manic depressive, but if I get too high, then the crash for me, whether it be physical from sugar or excited about something, I just have to watch out for that. And then,
how do you deal with it on a daily basis? Or is it not a daily basis kind of thing?
It is a daily basis kind of thing. I'm aware of it. I think the last time we talked about was I had taken myself off of medication, and that was a huge mistake. And it was such a crash for me that I'm very aware of my depression now. I don't feel depressed every day, but I definitely am aware that I struggle with depression, and I still have dark moments, but not dark days anymore.
Do you have any tendencies that you find yourself doing when you are depressed or feeling a little more depressed than usual?
Yeah, I get compulsive about other things, whether it be eating or shopping, or, you know, and I'm also dealing with ADD that I can't take Ritalin for.
Right.
And so I'm constantly trying out. Now they have me on something that that they used to give pilots in World War II to keep them awake, that they found, which is non-narcotic, but
coffee?
They find is help. Yeah, exactly. Basically, that helps with ADD. And so I'm trying that to, you know, because the combination of all that. My kids benefit so greatly. I was talking to my wife was saying this. They benefit so greatly by me having ADD because I'll just be like, hey guys, let's go to Vegas for the weekend and golf.
Right.
Like, I just wake up. I'm always up for something because sitting is hard for me.
That's a lot like me. I get like that. And when I have idle time, I tend to not do good things.
Yeah.
So I like
And that's what I do. So I'm like always up for something. So these.
Yeah, you're like a fun dad.
Kids are. Yes.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It makes you a fun dad.
Are you in therapy at all?
I am in therapy.
Okay.
But I haven't gone in quite a while because the guy who, his name is John Sharp. He's a guy who's a psychiatrist who has sort of become, even though most psychiatrists just prescribe medicine, he's become sort of my therapist as well. because he's constantly trying to figure out where I'm at. So we'll talk on the phone. We text a lot. And he's a guy who everyone goes, how'd you find this guy? And this is insane. When I was losing my fucking mind, I put into Google therapist addiction Los Angeles. And this guy came up. Yeah. And I read about him, and he's half the time teaches at UCLA, half the time at Harvard. So he goes back and forth like every 3 weeks.
Oh, okay.
And so I called him, I cold called him, and he's the guy I credit with saving my life, because not only did he get me on the right medication, but he took all the angst away from me. He said, I am going to give you stuff that is going to work, so don't start worrying that you can't get out of this darkness. You don't need to worry about that. I will take you. He just took full control, which is what I needed at the time. And for that time, when I had gone into this deep depression, when I thought, you know, Ellen would be better off without me, my wife would be better off without me, my kids, when this type of thinking made sense to me, my wife and this guy were the only ones who could sort of push me along and take care of what I needed. Because it was insane that I was having those thoughts.
Yeah.
And that's when I realized it was chemical, because you can look around and my life's pretty good.
Yes.
It's pretty good. It's great. And I am someone who, for whatever reason, is chemically needs, you know, there's a lot of people who are against these kinds of meds. They've absolutely saved my life, 100%.
And so now you're in a good place.
I feel like I'm in a good place. I feel like I'm in a, you know, I miss the highs. That's what I will say to you, is that I miss the anxiety is different than the highs. Like,
yeah.
I miss the adrenaline
rushing,
yeah. Which is what playing hockey and watching hockey does for me, which for me, when you give up drugs, you have to have a little bit of an acceptance that you will never feel that complete euphoria again. People keep telling me that you'll feel it through exercise. You really do get a natural high. I've tried exercise. You know, I don't get that. It doesn't happen for me. And I also, you know, no matter how high I'm going to get on a treadmill, it's not going to be cocaine. It's just not.
Right.
And so there are times I miss that carefree feeling. Like, I'll sit at a table with adults, with my wife who loves wine, and the other adults, and everyone's, you know, drinking responsibly, but they're happy and they're fun, and I'm still a little uptight. I don't know how to I miss that.
Do you ever think to yourself that the idea of this stuff is actually better than, like, the idea of what wine would do to you, or a little bit of cocaine, is better than what it would actually do to you?
Well, I 100%, because until I realized what it would do to me, I kept doing it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I kept saying, I think this time, I just want a little bit. And every time, you know, and that's for me, and it's not just for me, it's for, is that good? That Jim Gaffigan book
it's
I'm looking
great.
At?
It's great.
I want to read it.
It's great. You want it?
Right now I'm reading a book about Columbine, but which is not good, which is
no.
really good for my depression.
Yeah.
But of course I'm like reading, it's all about the two kids who did Columbine, and I keep going, my son sometimes acts like that, because they're going back to their childhood. So now my wife is reading the book too.
Oh, we're no. Both
I ordered it.
Checking for warning signs.
Yeah. Seeing our kids,
going
Columbine
the
kids.
Do they have any books that are?
So yes, I play the tape through. But it takes an effort to do that. It takes an effort for me to go, okay, so what would it be like? Tonight you'd have a drink, I also have guilt. So by tomorrow, I'd be so fucking guilty that I relapsed that I'd have to just keep drinking, and I would end up where I always end up, which is not good.
Yeah.
It's not good. And that's why I kept relapsing, is because I kept thinking that the idea, as you said, Guy, was better than it actually was going to turn out to be. But yes, I miss it. And I don't know if I will ever be that kind of drug addict or alcoholic who can say, you know what? I don't miss it one bit. I miss the euphoria. But it wasn't euphoric for me at the end. It didn't work for me at the end. It just was me getting well.
So when you were an addict, were you still depressed? Or did that mask it?
It masked it for a long time, because getting high you go into a down when you're not high, and then you get out. But that is work. It's a full-time job.
Yeah, it's totally.
And so it occupies your time. And, you know, depression for me a lot of times manifests itself the most when I have idle time. Mm-hmm. But when you're a drug addict, you're chasing. You're constantly. It's a full-time occupation.
It feels like a game, I think.
Yes.
Like when you get to the next level.
Yes. And so it was so far masking my depression. It wasn't until I got to rehab that they said, you suffer from depression. I didn't get on this, you know, onto antidepressants until I finally got sober.
Yeah. Do you ever watch the show Intervention?
I used to.
Is it, because I would think it would go either one way or the other. Either you're fascinated and like, yes, I could relate, or you're I can't even
I watched it for a while, and then they found out that the main guy, you know this, right? The main guy with the mustache, one of the interventionists, was getting loaded the whole time.
No.
Yes. we got to check the facts. We got to, because I don't want to.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
This is such a good Lifetime movie.
I know, but it was like, holy shit. And then I started going, you know, I don't know. But it got repetitive for me, mm-hmm. and it got uncomfortable for me, and it got, you know, especially the interventions where there was like, 11 for me, the intervention, I always was in the attics. Like I sympathized with the families and them reading their letters and everything, but I naturally went to see, fuck, that's overwhelming for the addict. I know what he's thinking right now, because right now it feels like a gun to his head. You either go to rehab, which means you're done with drugs and all you want to do right now is get high.
Right.
Or you're going to lose these people who have been your source and your money. And
there's cameras.
I felt, and those, the whole thing, it was so uncomfortable to me to walk into that room and go, hey,
why is there 20 people staring at me and there's cameras?
And then they start reading everything, those letters. It was always a little overwhelming for me, but yeah.
Do you think with your being in Hollywood, is it more difficult to maintain sobriety, or is it easier because there's so many people that have gone through that kind of thing?
I think that's a good question. I can only speak from my experience. I think it's the perfect, for me, it's the perfect job for someone of my personality, in that I'm surrounded with people who, what we want to do all day is just laugh. And that's where I feel so lucky that I'm in that job, is that that's what I get to do all day, is be with, arguably, in my opinion, one of the funniest women that ever existed. And so we laugh all day. And then we have a staff of brilliant people who laugh, and we all laugh all day. And everybody is so open and accepting and liberal. And there's just not, I don't mean liberal politically, but just liberal about, he's a drug addict, or he's a, you know. But I do think it's probably harder. You can mask addiction, I think, in our business, you know, because when you're fucked up, but he's so creative, it's all right.
You know,
there's much more of an excuse, and there's more like, well, yeah, the guy does drink a lot, but fuck, he's funny. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Or damn, he's really good on Intervention.
Yeah.
With the mustache.
Exactly. As where I think, you know, when you're responsible for other people, as in being a lawyer, an accountant, or a doctor, you know, your people are less willing to let stuff slide. So I think...
Yeah, I can't imagine trying to bounce back.
I think in recovery, it's a great business to be in, but also in your addiction, unfortunately, it's probably... You could hide in it a little longer. A lot of Hollywood, and I don't consider myself really... when I think of Hollywood, I think of the film business, and I don't know. I don't think of a daytime talk show, but I guess I do work in that business.
You're on TV.
You have like 1,000 Emmys.
daytime Emmys. I think that, I think you're exposed to a lifestyle that is very much, you're susceptible to it there, because everything is it's such bullshit. It's such, you know, you're not at my show, but this business is people presenting themselves, and you never know if this is really who they are. And in order to present themselves, they'll put so much undue stress on themselves to have the house or the car or the, and that, if you're predisposed to being an addict, the only way to get relief from that is to get high. Mm-hmm. And so I think Hollywood is a lot, you know, there's amazing things about it, but I think it definitely, you know, I would warn anyone who is in, it's seductive. God, it's seductive. This is a seductive town we live in. And it's, you know, and I always think like, wow, if I could do this somewhere else, wouldn't it just be healthier for me? Would it be better? Would it be, but I don't know. There's parts of LA I love. I mean,
yeah, totally.
You know, but
is it the place or is it the person?
Yeah, right? Exactly. And it's, yeah.
So you have 10 daytime Emmys and 15 nominations.
That's
is that right?
That's very, very sweet of you.
Is that
right? I have
right?
18.
Oh, sorry. Oh, jeez.
My mother keeps count.
Gotta update
my
that
mother,
Wikipedia.
My mother keeps count.
But, so Trayvon, our last guest, has won for The Daily Show. Is his better? Like, are you jealous of that?
I think it's 45 daytime Emmys will equal one primetime. No, that's hugely impressive. First of all, to be on The Daily Show.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Trayvon's, first of all, one of the nicest humans. He's just a nice, you know.
He is.
I know it's Twitter, this world we live in, is you don't really know people. But he's one of those people that just shines through as a really decent human.
And he is. I've hung out with Trayvon before, and just a nice guy. Like I said to you before the show, when he had $4 left in his bank account, he was the same dude as a guy who has hundreds of thousands of dollars in his bank account now, who has tickets for the last Hamilton that are worth like $12,000 a piece. He's going with his mother.
See?
That's what I'm talking about. Really,
that's good. I would take the two of you.
Oh,
isn't
you
that
still
sweet?
Owe us the Kings game.
Well, we went separately. We never went with you.
We will go.
People asked about that, too.
Well, they didn't really get very far in the playoffs.
It wasn't a great...
But I got to sit in the Lassner seats, which are quite impressive.
They're good.
They're really good.
The most important thing is they're right near the valet, because it's so important to me to be able to go.
Every time I go
to home.
Yeah, you're right. Every time I go to the Kings, I'm like, ugh. God, I
know.
I Uber there.
That's all I care. Any situation, not just Kings, anything. I need to know what the parking situation is.
And how you get
that's
out
why
of there.
I hate baseball anyway. Sorry. But
okay.
Dodger Stadium to me is a fucking nightmare.
It's
a nightmare. Just right there. And Warner Brothers offers me the Dodger tickets very occasionally, not a lot. But when they do, I always think, well, does it come with the good parking? That's all I can think of.
I'm not going. I mean, Dodger Stadium is essentially a parking lot with a stadium right in the middle of it. So, it's a pain in the ass to get in and out.
I'm surprised they don't have a Trader Joe's, just to make it worse.
They should. You were talking about Twitter. Does the Twitter community, like, does it help? Is there, real support there for
you? It's amazing. It's like Twitter has been such a it's literally like when I click on my phone, I check for texts, emails, and then Twitter. Twitter's like become like communicate. It's weird. All my news is from Twitter.
Yes. Yeah.
Especially breaking news for me.
It's way more reliable.
I used to always think like, wow, people are they're talking about like really personal stuff on here. And I don't, all I did was say that my dad was sick. And then I said, my dad had died. And the amount of love and compassion you can knock social media for so many things because a lot of it is fucking insane people. But I never felt, suddenly I had this community of comfort and people like I had never met just reaching out. It was something I'll never forget. I'm so negative sometimes about Twitter and about the crazies on there, including me being one of the crazies, and how, you know, you feel like you have to follow on it and see what people are saying and whatever, all the negatives. But what a positive experience it was for me when my dad died to have so many people reaching out with personal experiences. I would literally go through them at night and read everyone and try and favorite every single one of anybody who reached out to me, just saying, sending love, sending. And there were so many. And then I posted what I had said. I spoke at my dad's funeral. And just the feedback was incredible.
Well, it was beautiful what you did say. So
thank you.
And obviously our condolences about
your
father.
Thank you, of course.
Does that send you into a depression, or were you ready for it? Are you ever ready?
I was ready.
For it?
I wasn't ready for it. You're never totally
You're never ready for it.
You're never totally ready for it, but when I hear about someone like you who lost your parents so young, you do feel like this little bit of guilt which I had to deal with of like, well, he was 93, but so many people were saying, well, he you had him a long time. He lived a good life. It didn't necessarily make it less sad for me.
Right.
Because
it's never enough.
Because I had him for so long, it was hard to say goodbye.
Yeah.
As it is devastating for someone who's young to lose a parent. So it's different. Like, he lived a magnificent life. We were so at peace with each other.
Important part.
That's awesome.
It was unbelievable, and he was so proud of me, and he was so, they listened to the first podcast, and I think they both were they had a moment there where they were like, wow, that's a lot of information that you have put out there publicly. And yeah. they both, I think, needed a few moments to sort of take it in. And then after, I think they were very proud. And he was always very proud about everything I did. And I felt like it didn't put me into it put me into sadness. And I think we talked about that last time. There's a huge difference between sadness and depression.
Yeah.
And I was sad. And it was tough because he died. I did like 4 days of the Shiva where people come visit you at the home with my parents. And then I jump into Ellen DeGeneres land where it's fun and laughter. And,
yeah.
and I feel in a certain way that I sort of escaped some of the grief that everyone's feeling because I talked to my mom and my brother and they're in it. You know, my mom's living in that apartment. So I'm going back in a few weeks to see her and I'm already getting sad about it. And because, so I think I processed it, but there's still parts of it that, you know, you just get on a plane, you fly away and you're surrounded by the people at work and the love. And I sort of escaped it in certain ways, but yeah.
I mean, I find that like Twitter for me personally, because I feel alone most of the time.
Yeah.
And like when I travel alone or even I'm just like I remember during Christmas, it was like 5 days where I didn't speak to anyone. Not because I was like
right.
not talkative, but like there was no one around. There's no one to talk to. No one's right. calling me to check up on
right.
me. And Twitter, I feel like, is like my parent in some way.
Yeah.
If I like let out some kind of signal, people will like DM me, oh, are you okay? What's going on?
Right.
And they're like,
I know
we
exactly.
see that you're getting morbid tweets. What's wrong
I know.
With you?
I know. I get, yeah. Sometimes that's, you know, when I can't sleep at night, I'll open up Twitter and just see what people are
it's
talking about.
It's that little
about.
Comfort blanket.
Although now I've found this Double Down app. This,
what's that?
It's gambling, but it's not, you don't. It's
you don't pay.
Perfect
you
for
pay
an addict.
$10 for like 2 million chips.
Okay.
And Ellen has a game on there now.
Oh, that's why.
But that's only one of the games
Are we
I play.
Plugging Ellen
no.
games?
No, we're not. But now I play that all night, like because it like keeps my mind busy.
That's
not,
good.
Like I said, I'm not good alone.
Right. Cool. I'm not good
And I think
alone.
Twitter gives you that instant community without necessarily having to talk to someone in
exactly.
person.
So I follow like 900, about 900 people on Twitter.
Right.
And out of those 900, maybe 30 still have I call them retweeting privileges in my timeline, meaning I've turned off almost everybody's
right.
retweets. Your retweets are on, Andy.
Thank you.
And
wait. I don't know about this.
I don't know
yeah,
about
you
any
turn
of
off
it.
Retweets.
Do you like, know I never use a computer? My entire
oh, really?
Life is an iPhone. I don't use a computer at work. I don't.
Huh.
So people are like, no, it's different on the computer.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, you could do it. You can do it on your phone too, I think. But so your retweets are on. And a couple weeks ago, I open up Twitter and I go, the fuck is he doing? And then I'm like, stop it, Andy. Stop it. Because he is retweeting people. This is the theme I noticed.
Oh, I know. Oh, yeah.
God and Trump.
Yeah.
That Trump.
I have a search.
God said
here,
that
I
Trump
have a search
was,
on Twitter. And it's Trump, God as one. Trump chosen and Trump pray. And I just search him every once in a while and I
good.
Find these people and I just retweet him to just go, hey, everybody, there are people out there who genuinely believe that God is involved in American politics. And not only is he involved in American politics, he has sided with Donald Trump.
Right.
And I just find it fascinating. But I notice some people think it's funny and some people are like, get this shit off my timeline. Like, it's disturbing.
Well,
so I try and do it less, but every once in a while, there's some nuggets out there that I can't help.
Well, there was, like, the New York Times editor who got, like, all this
anti-Semitic, yeah.
And then he left Twitter, and I'm like, look what happened.
Yeah.
He drove out a Jew from,
yeah. Yeah.
from Twitter.
Yeah.
So have you gotten any heat, though, otherwise, other than me going, oh, what the hell is Andy doing? Like, has anybody said anything to you?
Yeah, people just, what I get the most of is, enough with Trump, you're obsessed, which I am. And I here's why I'm obsessed. I'll tell you why it all started for me. I grew up in Manhattan, and there was probably the biggest thing of when I was young was the Central Park rape.
Yeah.
There was a woman
oh, yeah,
who
jogger.
Was jogging,
yes.
the Central Park jogger.
Right.
And she was, for those who don't know, I'll tell it to you very quickly. It was I believe she was an attorney, successful. She ran in Central Park late at night, where a lot of professionals did. And she, unfortunately, was horribly attacked and raped. And it was a horrible story. And the first thing they did was, and there's a great documentary on Netflix about it, but they basically arrested five black kids. Mm-hmm. and pinned it on them, even though none of these kids were close. They were in the park, but they weren't where the rape was. And they just needed, and Trump was taking out full-page ads saying we need to bring back the death penalty. He was had these kids dead. Oh, he was it, and it had the most racist undertone. And as a Jew in New York, you always were sensitive to anti-Semitism and you were sensitive to racism. And unfortunately, sometimes the blacks and the Jews in the outer boroughs like Brooklyn, they had issues with each other, but more so than none, they realized they had a common, that people didn't love the Jews and the blacks always.
Right.
Anyway, long story short, this was, he was in a sense, and I use this word, it's a strong word, he was lynching these kids publicly. Sure enough, some guy admitted and confessed while he was in jail that he did the whole thing. These kids got off 10 years after their lives were gone and in jail. But Trump was such a vocal figure that people cared because he was Donald Trump. So what he said, people paid attention to. And it was all to get, he realized, oh, I'm getting attention for this. And he kept going.
He's still and going. That's
the
problem.
He's still going. Yeah. And he was just, everything about him just always struck me as phony. And then I worked for Rosie, as you know. And I remember when Rosie went after him on The View. And I knew that she felt that way about him. Everybody went after her, like Fat Rosie, starting with him. But everybody like, what the fuck does she know about Trump? And what does she know? Everything she said and thought and knew about him, she was right. She knew exactly who that guy was.
Yep.
She did a really good job this year of shutting him down, though, when he
called
her.
She finally fought back. For a long time, she said that in The View, and then he just got so mean. And I felt like she sort of just let him be. And then when he literally in the first debate, in the first 5 minutes, talked about Fat Rosie, I was like, she better fucking go back after this
guy. She did a good job.
And she's been, she's done a great job.
It's people like Rosie that are going to keep him out of the White House.
The problem is that it's all I think about sometimes. And that's part of like my obsessive thinking is that I get into that. And I think that if I don't tweet about it or I don't respond to it, somehow he's going to get away with it. And I got to realize that that's not necessary and I don't need to do that. But sometimes I just, plus his son, Eric, blocked me. Donald blocked me. So it's not like the whole family has blocked me. So it's not like anything I say is meaning anything, but
unless
you know,
we start that secret Twitter account.
We got to start a new account.
But your banner is Donald Trump calling you a loser, isn't it?
Yeah, that was at the, the night Ellen was hosting the Oscars. And
you told me you wanted to be
I was like backstage and I made the mistake of checking my Twitter and he was taking shots at like, oh, I didn't think, you know, because that was the time where he was commenting on all award shows and every host was bad.
Right.
Every award show was bad. But now it was the Oscars and my boss is hosting and I'm backstage and I stupidly checked Twitter and someone says, have you seen Trump, what he's saying? And he was like, oh, well, Ellen, you know, fell short there, but it's not her fault. Andy Lassner's an idiot. And, you know, because I had gone after him before. And then I told him, like, you fuck. I went after him. And then, of course, I deleted it right away because I was never more visible than the night of the Oscars because I'm tweeting as Ellen's producer, but I never represent Ellen on my Twitter. Like, her opinions are not in any way.
Right.
I try and be very careful to separate myself from that because she's much kinder and compassionate, more compassionate than I ever can be.
Yeah, I don't notice anything like from the show. I've never seen Trump brought up ever.
Well, we make jokes. We do stuff, but nothing is Ellen's never going to go after anyone.
Right.
Despite what she may think personally.
It's never been
The only thing she said on the record is he's a bully and I don't like bullies.
Right.
But has been said many, many times, Ellen DeGeneres sat at home while the world judged her and Anne Heche, and by the world meaning every late night show, making fun of her and talking about her after she came out. And she said if she ever gotten to be in a position again, she would not do that to other people. So do I sit in office with her and make a Sarah Palin joke? Absolutely. Would that ever be the kind of thing that we are going to put on the show? No, because that's not the show we do. We don't contribute to that, and she doesn't. She's not a political person.
Yeah.
People thought she was political because she came out, and people at the time thought that was a political statement. Like,
I think it's just
a human statement. Yeah. She's not. She's the opposite of political. Mm-hmm. Pretty much anything she knows about politics is what we've talked about. Is what the producers and her talk about. She's not out there watching CNN. She watches things that make her happy.
Right.
But at no point when you're tweeting, do you ever go,
But I represent the Ellen. I mean, I am the executive producer of the Ellen Show.
I do.
You do?
I do. And then sometimes I have to.
Ah, the delete button.
Yeah, I do delete. And then I think, you know what? Nobody more than Ellen DeGeneres wants you to be yourself. So then I.
Exactly.
So but then nobody's I just ever say, said but, anything to you.
Like, nobody from Warner Brothers. No. Nobody. None of my bosses. None of. They've never. Because they know that it's very. I'm expressing myself and. It's clearly not. You know, you can watch the show or know Ellen, and she's not fucking spending her nights thinking about Donald Trump or.
But it must be exhilarating to have like Obama on the show. I mean, that.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Like
photobombing Hillary Clinton.
That was awesome. Yes,
that's one of my favorite pics of you.
I know.
Like I'm sure your mom.
I got to photobomb Hillary. I photobombed Obama. It was fun. It's amazing. That stuff is one of the great perks of the job. Perks of the job.
What's the best perk? What's your favorite part of the job?
My favorite part
is the parking.
What?
The parking.
I have great parking right in front of the building. My favorite part is what we do to help people, what we call them the human interest stories, the people who are in need.
I always cry when I see them.
And the laughing. Just, you know, for me, my favorite part of my job is the 1 hour a day that we tape the show, because all the work that all these people who work for us there, who are unbelievable and work a lot harder than I do, it all comes to fruition for that 1 hour a day. And it's all the result of a day of laughing and planning and hard work. And so that is great. And then what we do, and what by we, I mean our human interest producers and Ellen, and what to help people, that's what keeps me. I think that when you say what helps me with my depression, there's nothing better than helping others. And just being a part of that in some little way is my favorite part of the job, is the amount of people who have feedback, like what you just said, that like, I can't believe how much you guys do for that. And the amount of people who tell us and write in about how they got through their chemo by watching Ellen every day. They got through their cancer. They got through the death of a child, through their only bright spot of the day. And with that, there's like a responsibility with that.
Yeah.
And the show is so much better than I am. Like it's, in other words, the show is such a positive, great thing that we do every day. And I wish like I could be more like what we do on the show, but off the show, I'm a little bit of a cynical asshole.
You guys don't just help people. You guys go like above and beyond.
Yeah, we have great, you know, we have great partners like Shutterfly, like people who provide us with a lot of money to help give away in addition to the money we give away.
That makes me feel better about corporations, I guess.
Yeah, no, they do. I mean, that's the best part of the job. And you know, it's ridiculous. I meet celebrities every day. I meet politicians every day. And the funny thing is that just because we're in a political season, meeting Bush Sr., Bush Jr., and John McCain, three huge Republicans, were highlights for me. Huh. I love them all personally. Like when you meet them, you're like, oh, I get it.
Yeah.
Like you realize, I went down to New Orleans with Ellen to do a thing right after Katrina. And it was Bush Sr. and Clinton had gotten together to try and help right after the hurricane hit. And being in that room with like Bush, you were like, oh, wow, he's the most charming man I've ever met. And you realize that, like...
It's like, no wonder he won the presidency.
Other than Trump, I can't say, but the rest of them, they're just humans absolutely believing that they're doing the best thing for America, and they really do believe it. Trump, I think, is a fucking clown, so I can't get on board with him. But the rest of them, they're not bad people, Republicans, Democrats. I mean, we're all in it for the same thing. We all just want to feel safe.
One last Trump question. Do you think, is there any way that he's not in it to win it? Like that?
I don't believe that. Okay. Here's what I do think. I think originally he wasn't necessarily in it to win it. He was in it to get attention and stir things up. And I think as he started winning, he's like, oh
shit.
Oh, I want this now. I really do want this.
Yeah.
And now I think he wants it. And I can't wait till he doesn't get it.
Oh, please,
yes,
God.
Please.
I can't wait till he's a loser. And he says,
it's going to be so much fun. Please. Anyway, so I got to ask you a question. So we were talking about the way you help people and all that stuff on the Ellen Show. I don't want to ask you too much about Ellen, but I want to ask you a little bit. So one thing is, maybe a month ago, I sent you a story that I saw on the news. It was this little girl with cancer and this humongous black guy, and they had like this little meme going where his shirt said strong, and on the back of point to her it said stronger,
right?
And her dream was to be on Ellen. I was like, ugh. I was like, I feel so douchey about this, but what's the chances that maybe they don't know? And so wouldn't it be cool to help this girl?
I love that people write it. Obviously, we're 1 hour a day. We can't help as many people, but we get inundated with it, and I will never complain about that. And I will never, unfortunately, the hardest part of the job is that you can't help everyone. If you could help everyone, it would be fantastic.
Oh, and then deciding who to help must be so
it's
hard.
You know, and that's the job of our human interest producers, who are amazing people who have to go through this. And who knows if we pick always the right ones, but you do what you can.
Have you ever noticed that everybody's dream is to be on Ellen? Why is everybody's dream to be on Ellen?
I find that everyone's YouTuber's dreams. Everyone who has a viral, everyone's video, everyone wants their video to go viral so they can be on Ellen.
Right.
No. I work with a lot of entertainers. They all, like I told you, all these magicians, that's their dream. They've been on all these shows and they all tell me, I just want to be on Ellen.
That's funny because Ellen is one of those, Ellen, just you mentioned that, she loves magic. She still is like a child with, like,
she should have I do magic.
Like there are days where when we have these magicians, I was like, oh, she really believes in magic. Like she really believes. Like, and so I'm like, all right, I'm not saying how it's done. I don't always know how it's done. We do find some insane magicians, but
But that's their dream. That's,
but I don't want to talk about work, but I will say that Ellen, Ed, Mary, and Kevin, the other EPs, they are a huge reason that I can manage my depression every day.
Okay.
These are people who have become, after 14 years, my family. And at home, I have this amazing wife and my kids. But then I'm spending 10, 12 hours a day with these people. And to sit in an office with these other executive producers, and really the whole staff, but specifically Ellen and the other executive producers, it is so important to have people around you who know what you're going through. And it's tricky. And that's why, just coming back to your question about entertainment, I feel lucky that I can be so open and honest. And I don't know that you can sit in a law firm and tell the other lawyers that I'm really kind of feeling like I don't totally want to live anymore. Like, I just feel so blessed that I have that kind of, you know, those kind of people around me who, you know, there's nothing they wouldn't do for me. And I think if you can find that in your job, if nothing else, find one person, because you have to have one person that you can tell exactly what you're feeling, even if it's a paid person like a shrink.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you're as sick as your secrets, and that is such a true statement.
Yeah.
Have you ever
watched porn?
Said hi to Ellen for anybody?
You know, no. And what's her name?
I figured some famous person, you're like, okay, fine. Bruce Springsteen said hi, I will tell Ellen. Bruce Springsteen said hi, but no.
Bridget Fetisee.
Yes.
Oh, she didn't. We have like a.
She has this idea, and I think it's so funny. She's like, you should.
Oh no, we're gonna film something. We talked about.
She
this.
Wants. She said because it's true. The tweet I get the most is, "Can you say hi to Ellen for me?" And she had this idea that we should find people that have to prove themselves why they should be the one person that I say hi to Ellen.
She
them.
Might hate me for admitting this, but we went together. We went to Joshua Tree one, but we're both totally sober, so I don't think we did mushrooms or anything.
Yeah.
And we were like, we should do a video where we're like the camera is Andy's perspective, and he's going through his day, and his like housekeeper is like, tell Ellen and I said hi, and like everybody is like,
everybody,
the mailman's asking you to say
my
hi.
Mother.
Yeah, everyone.
My mother, she'll call me. Tell Your Ellen dog? To have a good show today. Like, this is real. This is real. It's hilarious how many people want me to say hi to Ellen. I think it's sweet because I think it shows, you know, a connection that people feel with her.
I've had someone say, could you say hi to Andy for me? So there you
go. Hello.
There we go.
Hello.
Whoever you are.
Hello.
Well, you're not on Facebook.
But it is. It is true. So. And she said that to me. She told me that idea. And I was like, it is so true. It's like, that's half of what people at me. Can you say hi to Ellen for me? Is Ellen is pretty in person? How about those blue eyes? Are they gorgeous? Can you say hi to Ellen for me? It always comes back to that. All right, enough about Ellen.
Yes, we're done with the Ellen questions.
Okay.
You had a TV show last year. Is that no longer around with the lady who's on the Goldbergs as the host?
Yeah. No, it ABC ran it for the summer, and then they were talking about it coming back in December. And then they changed the guard. The person who had ordered it had left ABC. So
That's too bad. It was a really funny show. Like, yeah, legitimately people,
yeah,
funny.
Yeah, it was fun to do.
Because you got some big stars on there. That was part of like the
Yeah, we got Bieber. We got, you know,
Britney Spears.
But we have other stuff that we can't talk about yet, but we have some other cool
stuff
coming
up. Okay, so you have something coming.
We have some other shows that we're actually developing that are, you know, everybody says that in this town.
Right.
It's either a show or an app. Everyone's developing an app or a show or a script. But we do actually, the producers and I are working on some other stuff that I think will be cool.
I have a question on
because,
that,
because, you know, we can't, you know, Ellen's going to go away eventually and we got to keep eating.
True.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think in this town that's not you is like, I want to be Andy right now. Like, so where do you want to go?
You
want to
be nervous? You want to be nervous 24 hours a day, insecure, thinking you're getting fired every day.
I think they want really good
thinking your wife is leaving you every day. You want that feeling?
I think they want really good seats at the Kings game.
Yeah, the Kings game. That's exactly right.
But,
don't you always have?
I always think, but otherwise, the firing thing. My boss calls me into his office. I just figure I'm getting fired. He just has to ask me. Really, it's a question about one of my employees.
I always, and so when we spend money, like we just bought a house, whatever, I always think, like, you understand that, like, this is all going to go away very soon.
That's why.
That's how I live my life. It doesn't matter that I have a contract at the show and whatever. I'm like, Ellen's going to wake up one day and hate me or, I don't know. It's like, but I live my life like that with all that fear. But anyway, people who want to be Andy, to have a show that's been on, going into its 14th season, it's like unbelievable. And
so, like,
it's been
what's
amazing.
Your dream now? What's beyond this now?
Yeah. To be like an old Jew on the golf course.
No, but
I
let's
swear
say
to God, that's what I want.
But
to
let's
do.
Pretend Ellen retires next. This is the last year of Ellen, right?
Okay.
Pretend. What does Andy do next year?
A podcast full time with you guys.
Well, you'd have. It would,
what would I do? What podcasts. Do? I probably.
Would you want to stay in TV?
I think
or
so.
Do
I don't
golf
know what else.
Route?
Here's the thing. I've been divorced. I have three kids, two in private. Like, I don't have, I can retire money even close. Like, I need to work.
Yeah.
And so it actually makes me nervous because it's like, I don't know what I will do next. And, you know, I've been doing what I've been doing long enough to know that there's only a few Ellens and Rosies and Phil Donahues and Dr. Phil and Oprah. And you don't just get some brilliant people have had talk shows that not only have come and gone, but a lot of people don't even know they had a show.
I know.
That's how quick
it's
it was.
Sad.
And so do I know what, I don't know. I always say I want to work in sitcoms,
but
I don't even
know
what that means.
Like, ultimately, do you want to ride the Zamboni for the Kings every day?
Yes. I swear, if I could make, one of my dreams is absolutely to travel with the LA Kings for one full year to go every one of their games. And if I could figure out how to make a living somehow in hockey, that would be a dream for sure.
I think if you just podcasted it live, you'd get so much sponsorship money just from that.
Yeah, doesn't Jim Brewer does something with the Mets like that, essentially?
Yeah.
Like, after the game, he does like a live Facebook podcast kind of thing.
I don't know.
I'm
so upset. It's so, you know, you were talking about how cool is it for the celebrities. There's no celebrity on our show that's been anywhere as cool for me as when, like, Kopitar or Quick or
but
one of the
Kopitar
Kings.
But you and Kopitar are like buddies, so I don't know.
Not real. I mean, I know him, but it's just, to me, those were my heroes as a kid, so that's what I get excited about. I don't know. I just love it there. I could just live at Staples. I don't like basketball. I don't like anything else.
Yeah.
Just hockey. Why do you think
weird.
That is?
I don't know.
Did, like, your dad love hockey?
No.
Or take you to hockey games or
no,
anything?
But we had a yeshiva floor hockey team that I was on.
Oh, impressive.
And we had a friend growing up, friends of the family, who had Ranger tickets, and so I'd go to Ranger games.
Yeah.
And just the excitement of it all. I don't know. I love the speed of it.
There's an energy in the
room. Yeah, there's an energy. Mm-hmm. Anybody who's not really a hockey fan who I've brought to a hockey game goes, oh, I get this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a good ADD sport because it's so fast and so, like, people are like, wait, where's the puck now? And that's how my brain operates, so it's kind of good.
And then with scoring, there's like a wave of energy.
Oh, my God. And you're just high-fiving people you don't know.
Yeah, that's the thing. I remember when I was little, I went to my first King game, and someone high-fived me that I had no idea, and I was like, Mom, a stranger high-fived me. Is this okay?
And when you get in the playoffs, you just start hugging people. Yeah, it's probably me.
They can have love child.
Stanley Cup,
from
full makeout, right? From folks on the street, Andy, really quickly.
Yeah.
What do you think about the Kings and their management re-signing Trevor Lewis?
I love him. I love Trevor Lewis. I think he has some of the most... I don't know how I'm having trouble talking now. Nobody, he has as much heart as anyone on that. That guy is such a grinder. I was so thrilled that we kept him. I was nervous when they were going to sign Lucic that they were going to use all the money on him and not be able. I'm thrilled. I love Trevor Lewis. I think he's got heart. He gives it all. I thought Jarrett Stoll the same thing before he left the Kings. I love those guys who are second, third line, fourth line, who just work their asses off. And
who's your favorite hockey player all time?
Anze Kopitar.
Oh, really?
100%.
Wow.
Yeah. That, because okay. he's an amazing player. He's a selfless player. He's a smart guy. His teammates like him, and he follows me on Twitter. He's like a really just decent guy, and I think he is what a hockey player should be. He's all about the game. He's all about winning. He's a gentleman. He's not looking to fight every time. He's just great.
Why no Instagram for him? I mean, you own one.
I don't know. I get overwhelmed by more than... I don't even have Facebook.
You shouldn't get Instagram.
I can't have... Like, there are people at work who are on their Instagram, then their Twitter, then their... And I look at... I follow people with it, and I don't... Yeah. If I have a picture I want to share, I don't know, my daughter. My daughter, who's home from college now, she orders food. Everything is... She's getting... The first thing she does when the food comes is the cell phone and a picture, and she's gonna it's Snapchat.
That's all. Yeah,
and I go, what do you do with no? And I go, what do you do with that? And she goes, it's just my story. And I go, what story? And I don't even understand it. But now I understand it because Ellen's on it, and so I sort of understand it. But I've never thought my story would be that interesting.
I definitely am too old. I think the 20-year-olds and under.
I don't even understand the whole. I kind of understand the story thing, but nothing makes me feel older than not understanding.
But then it's like you can send pictures and they disappear. There's a thing, right. Like there's a time frame.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's good for nakedness and
right.
stuff. Yeah.
That's what it was used for originally, but now people aren't even using it for that.
Yeah.
How do you know?
Well, I don't even know how to use Snapchat exactly, though. Like, I don't know which button to press.
Are you
an
a
idiot.
Jew?
Exactly.
I don't understand.
You need some help here. So let's do this, Andy. You've been very generous again with your time.
This
and all
was
that
not
stuff.
As interesting this time, I feel.
Oh,
I hope you guys edit it. To be shorter
you're
and
kidding
keep
yourself. You're very interesting. Seriously, like everything about you, your story, your openness.
Well, I appreciate that.
You would have
like
been our number one.
I feel comfortable here, and you do it in a nice home.
Yeah,
we don't like to bombard people with like a studio, and we just want to relax.
So let's start with this. What is your favorite charity? Last time we gave a charity, but maybe you have a different one. Maybe you have the same one. Do you remember what your charity was last time? I don't.
Oh, it was St. Jude because he was...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Is it still St. Jude?
Let's do Children's Hospital LA.
Do you know what the Children's Hospital of LA does?
I do know that the Kings went there and they said...
Yes, they're very active there, but they took very good care of Ed, who's the other executive producer. Mm-hmm. His son had a staph infection, and the way they cared for that boy, I'll never forget, and I think that that's what they do is they take kids who... have either sort of complicated illnesses or and all they focus on is kids, and it just everything I always hear about them seems to be amazing. And I hope I never have a need for it for my kids, but if God forbid anything ever happened, that would be my first stop.
Okay, well hopefully you never have to.
Yeah,
I have five questions for you. Each one's worth $50 for the Children's Hospital of LA. Simple as that. So if you get it right, you'll hear a ding.
Oh, Jesus.
Actually, I'm going to edit the ding.
Is this trivia stuff?
You'll see. It's pretty easy. And then if it's wrong, you'll hear,
which I'll edit.
Okay, so here we go. Question number one. What is Ellen's birthday?
Fuck.
Oh, my God. What kind of relationship
is this? It's in January. Here's the thing. We don't always tape the show.
Oh, right.
Around... on her birthday, so I know it's in January.
Yes.
Wait, maybe we lose that question.
Okay. Can I read the next one?
Sure. The answer is January 28th.
Okay, see?
26th. Don't get it wrong.
Okay, January 26th. Do you know what I was going to say was January 16th? We always tape her birthday show early, so I always think of it as mid-January. I can't get myself out of this.
The one that starts with who? No.
So who has the most career goals of the Kings?
God, you're killing me. Ever?
Most career goals with the Kings.
Ever?
Yeah. All time.
Luke Robitaille?
Ding, 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 ding. Correct. All right. Really, so we got impressive. $50 to the Children's Hospital.
But wait,
Ellen, I know your birthday is January 26th.
Is this the answer?
Yes.
I want to know how many do you know? Or roughly, make a guess.
All time in his career or with the Kings?
I believe it's with the Kings. Was he with another team?
I can't even tell you the number. 432.
That's not that far off. Okay.
What is it?
557.
All right.
Yeah.
It's not that far off.
Robitaille. Right. Okay. Question number three. So we're $50 up. How many Twitter followers does Donald Trump have? Is it A, 6.3 million, B, 7.3 million, C, 8.3 million, or D, 9.3 million?
6.3 million.
D, 9.3 million.
See, that's not a fair question because I'm blocked. And so
that's true. Don't worry, I can't look at his account.
That's okay. True.
Who hosts the show?
Ellen's birthday, January 26th.
Yes. Who hosts the TV show Big Brother?
Oh, please, Les Moonves' wife. She's one of the hosts of The Talk.
Yes.
And her name is Julie Chen.
Ding, yes. Ding, 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 ding.
I know Julie Chen.
Good job.
I couldn't remember Ellen's birthday.
I saw that you tweeted about Big Brother starting the other night. I was surprised you're
I'm addicted to that.
Here's the
I'm
a show fan. Wait, we'll go off on this, but my boys got into it. I was like, okay, I'll watch it. And then I realized it's the most inappropriate show for 2 9-year-old twin boys to watch. It teaches you how to be a manipulative,
deceptive
asshole.
Yes.
And I
love it.
And I don't have the balls to be a tough parent and say we're not watching this anymore. So I've decided that I'm going to use it. I'm going to use it as a teaching moment.
There you go.
And say these people are not how you're supposed to be.
This person's bad.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Do you have anybody you're rooting for, by the way, at Big Brother right now?
The first guy who got kicked off.
That's who I was rooting for. I thought he'd make it far.
Come on, a Queen's dad with a kid.
This is how stupid Big Brother is.
He was a cop, but now he's a groomer.
Yeah.
And then he's off, and then everyone is just like good looking, muscular.
Oh,
I mean, it's so.
Could you imagine
like,
the casting directors for that?
Yes. Gross. Yeah. And then how about once you find out, how hard do those people starve themselves and work out?
Oh, my God.
They just walk around in bikinis all day.
Yeah.
Yes, I would like to live in the Big Brother.
If you could, would you do Big Brother for a summer?
No.
You wouldn't do celebrity Big Brother?
Not celebrity. No. All the producer Big Brothers.
No.
That'd be funny.
Hmm. Oh, God, no.
You just couldn't live with them.
No.
Okay. True or false? Golf is an acronym for gentlemen only, ladies forbidden.
False.
Ding, 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 ding. So you now have $150, but maybe you can make it with a bonus to $200 for the Children's Hospital. Here's the bonus question. Just answer it how you would answer it, okay? Will you say hi to Ellen for me?
I will. Not only, I am going to absolutely say hi to Ellen for you.
Oh, Andy, that's not the correct answer. You're supposed to tell me she hates you.
Oh, that's right. And she does dislike you.
But I'm
going
to.
I will. No, not only that. Now that I said yes, I am going to. We're on hiatus now, but when I get back, I will videotape myself saying hello to Ellen. For the two of you.
There we go.
From the two of you.
You know what? Fuck it. $250 to the Children's Hospital of LA from Failing Up. Thank you, Andy. We appreciate it. You've been amazing on the show. Do you have any other thoughts? Is there anything?
Any closing thoughts?
What were you worried about us asking you about? Anything?
No. I'm never worried. I feel very comfortable with you guys.
Okay.
I wish we could sometimes do this not on microphone.
We can.
And Nuzzy said we should do Nate Nals. Let's all do something right now. Yes. I love that place.
I am 100% down with that.
I
used to take my kids all the time at Nate Nals.
And now they don't want to? What's going on?
It was when they were young, you need an activity to kill time. So driving from Encino to Nate Nals for breakfast on a Saturday or Sunday, it was a 3-hour thing. So it was nice.
Yeah. Cool. So thank you again for being on the show.
We love you.
Thank you. Thanks for listening to Failing Up, everybody.
When will part 3 be?
Whenever you come back.
All right.
Yes. We want you on anytime. Thanks,
guys.